First John chapter 4. Talking too much about that and telling stories. First John chapter 4. Let's start in verse 10. Maybe start in 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, this is our text verse in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd bless the message today and the time we have here. Thank you for the work here and the way you've worked in hearts and lives and brought this church together, and obviously just a good solid work of people who love you and want to serve you and are serving you. Pray that you'd bless the message, challenge us to do more for you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Bible says that we ought to love God. I'm going to preach to you today about loving God, about the love of God, about love. Maybe ought to be a Valentine's message or something if you're going to talk about love. But Bible says, 1 John 4:11, God so loved us. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, it's not just a matter that God loved us in verse 11. It's that God so loved us. He loved us in a certain way. And the way in which God loved us is the way in which we ought to love one another then. I mean, if God loved us in a certain way, then that kind of love that God gave to us, or the way he loved us, is the way we ought to love each other. We ought to love each other. We ought to love God like God loves. And so if God so loved me, and he loved me in a certain way, and I am supposed to love, then I ought to love like God loves. That ought to be my goal or the direction of my life. I ought to try and begin to study and try and figure out, okay, how does God love? Well, with God, love is an action verb. I mean, it's something that requires doing. If you think of another verse where you think of God so loved, you think a lot of times John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because God loved us, he so loved us, and that love that he had for us meant that he sent his Son into the world to die for my sins. Because God loved me, he did something about it. Amen. And sent his Son, made a huge sacrifice so that I could get saved. Amen. I mean, God did something. And I am supposed to love like God loves. Okay, now, if God loved me so much that he sent his only Son to die for me, and I'm going to stand up and say I love God, it seems like maybe I ought to do something for him. I'm glad when God loved me, it wasn't just some warm, gooey feeling. You know, a lot of times you say, well, what is love? And to many of us, as we think about it, well, you know, I love him. What does that mean? Well, I feel so excited when I'm around him. It's some warm, gooey feeling that, oh, it's, you know, we're in love, and we can sit and stare at each other all these years, and oh, I love him. I have this warm feeling. It just kind of comes over me and oozes down. And suppose I come home tomorrow after orientation, and my wife be there for the orientation. She teaches in the college, oversees our student teaching program, and does some office work and other things. But she'll be there in orientation, and then we're going out, the faculty and staff, for a luncheon tomorrow. And sometime after that, she'll probably leave and go home, and I'll stay and work or do other things, and I'll get home for dinner maybe about 6 o'clock or something tomorrow evening. And I say, hi, honey, how are you doing? She, oh, I'm great. I'm just in love. I'm just sitting here loving and thinking about how much I love you. Oh, that's great. I love you too. This is wonderful. What are we having for dinner? You see, dinner. I haven't thought about that at all. I'm just in love. Well, that's okay. What's the mess here? Well, yeah, I'm going to pick that up someday, but, you know, I'm just love. Just sitting here kind of in the chair, and well, that's good. You got anything ironed for me to wear tomorrow? No, I'm just sitting here thinking about how much I love you. Oh, could I have a kiss? Well, no, because that'll break my meditation on how much I'm loving you. I want some action. Dinner or something. You know, love has got to be more than some warm feeling. I mean, there's no love at all. She said, you know, she says, well, by the way, did you bring home the paycheck? Well, you know, I got it, but, you know, it's still out there in the van. I haven't bothered going to the bank yet, or I did go to the bank, and, you know, I stopped and bought myself a new rifle or some new things for the house, you know, some new toys for myself, and I'm just thinking about, you know, I've been thinking about how much I love you. Now, where's the love in there? You know, I mean, well, you got, you know, the grass is getting long. You're going to get out and cut it, honey? Well, you know, dear, I just been thinking about how much I love you. That's going to get pretty old pretty soon. I mean, love with God is an action verb. Okay. And as far as that goes, if you love somebody here, you know, do something about it. I mean, to say I love somebody and you don't act in, you know, trying to do things for them and trying to help them and trying to do something about it, that isn't Bible love. It's not God. It's not love like God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to die for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us. Romans 8:32, being a Christian is great because God loves you. I guess if you're unsaved, God loves you too. But when you're a Christian, you get to realize it and get in on the benefits of it more. Romans 8 and verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, if God loved us enough to send his only son to die for us, certainly with him, he's going to freely give us all things. God loves, God gives. To God, because God loves me, he has given to me and given to me and given to me and showered me with blessings for which I ought to be praising him like I learned in Sunday school this morning. And I ought to be giving glory to him. I mean, God's done a tremendous amount for me. Because he loves me, he's given to me and he's done for me. I ought to love him. I ought to love him like he loves me. And I ought to try and do something. Again, if love is only a warm, gooey feeling, it's not Bible love. Now, if I love God, then I have to do something for him. Now, how am I going to do something for God? For those, you know, okay, God's given to me. I want to give money to God. I got a couple dollars here. And God, how do you give? I mean, he doesn't come take it. How can I? I could give money to Brother Ross. I'd give money to his daughter. My wife's pretty good at taking it, and but I can give money to people. How do you give money to God? How do you give your time to God? How do you do something for God? I mean, you can't see him. Now, I could pick somebody up. I got here this morning, and Brother Dave Ross helped me put up this, said, can I help you, and carried in some boxes for me. Help me put up a display, put things back in some room that I hope he can find for me again. But I mean, he helped me, and he could do that because he can see me, and there I am, and I've got, you know, extra boxes and stuff. But what can you? I mean, what are you going to do for God? The Bible gives us an answer to that. 1 John chapter 4. If you go back there again. 1 John chapter 4, and if you skip down to verse 20, says, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Okay, so if I love God, I'm supposed to love my brethren. I'm supposed to love other people. You turn back to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, I think. 40. Matthew 25 and verse 40. Says, the king shall answer and say unto thee, you know this story. Right. Skip back up a little bit. The righteous answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw thee we a hunger, went and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? You know the story. The Lord says, you know, the righteous, well, you've given to me, and you've fed me, and you've clothed me. So you get rewarded, and the righteous people say, God, we've never done that for you. I don't remember ever seeing you. I don't remember ever feeding you or clothing you or visiting you in prison or taking you in when you needed a place to stay. And in verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
That's good. Hey,
you work in a bus ministry. That's pretty least. I've been working in bus ministry most years since 1969 when I started at Tennessee Temple. Dr. Robertson came in and conducted the Saturday morning bus meetings every week of the world. Just 9 weeks out of 10, anyhow. Probably 19 out of 20. And started working in bus ministry. Been in that now. That was 1969, 36 years ago. Probably getting close to 30 years in the bus ministry. In it today. Was out on a bus route Saturday a week ago. Had a lady saved downtown Lexington. But you get out in the bus route and you work with the bus kids. That's working with the least. And you say, well, when you're down there, why are you doing that? I'm doing it for God. You just don't. Some people don't recognize those bus kids. You do it for them, you're doing for Jesus. You're doing for somebody else, you're doing for Jesus. When I come down to it, I'm saying, I want to serve God by serving people. And that's what life is all about. Trying to help people and trying to serve people, trying to do something for people. Because the only way I can do anything for God is by doing something for somebody else. I take my $2 and say, here, but it's coming back. I can come down and give a dollar to each of these kids. There you go. I can do something for them. I can't, you can keep it. I can't. Last of the big givers, $2. But I can't. The only way I can do anything for God is by doing something for somebody. And so if I want to serve God and God love me so much, I ought to love Him. Now, if I love him and he loved me enough to give to me, then I ought to love him enough to give to him. But I can't give to him and I can't serve him except as I give to others and serve them. So what can I do for people? I can take them the gospel. That's about the best gift you can give anybody. I mean, it's a lot better gift than anything else. Somebody's going to hell when you walk up to that door and you walk away and they're on their way to heaven. I don't want anything any more exciting than that. We're seeing a bunch of little kids sitting out in the hallway in a vacation Bible school or a Sunday morning after junior church or something, sitting up and down the hallway with college soul winners winning them to Christ.
Amen.
That's the best gift you can give anybody. You can bring them to church. Preacher was saying, you ought to try and get visitors to come to church. Brother Ross was saying, Sunday school class, be a good thing if every one of us made it our goal to have a visitor in church next Sunday. So we won't all get one next Sunday. No, but we're sure not going to get one next Sunday if we don't try.
Right.
And if I don't get one next Sunday, I'm trying for next Sunday. And I may not. But I don't know. But I'm sure not going to get one if I don't try.
Amen.
If I don't get one next Sunday, maybe I'll get one the next or the next or the next. And sooner or later, I'm going to get me one. Our son, one of our boys, teaches for us on the faculty there at the college and has been working and working, trying to get visitors. It just didn't seem to happen. I mean, nobody was coming. He'd get out one day, he said, Dad, I had 8 promises for today. And they all backed out. And one week, a couple weeks ago, he came up to me in the lobby. He said, I had 7 visitors in church today. I think 5 adults, a couple of kids.
Hey.
I mean, those days coming. You say, why are you doing that? Well, I'm trying to help that person. Amen. Best thing anybody can do in their life is turn over to God and live for Him. I mean, I want people to be happy and blessed and have the kind of life that I do, serving God and getting to serve Him and a good family, a good home. And life's good when you serve the Lord.
Amen.
And if I can get somebody saved and get them in church, that's about 2 best things I can do for them. I can, what else can you do for somebody? You could encourage them, be a blessing. You got some folks seem like their duty is to make sure nobody gets too overly encouraged. we got a lot of folks going to be here for the fall. They're going to show up for the new semester. Yeah, but they're not all coming. Yeah, I know that. Hey, I got a call today. Somebody else is going to be here in the fall. Another opportunity to turn their life. Yeah, but remember that call we got last week? Somebody's not coming. Or this one got backslid and turned her back, okay. I got a raise. Well, that's exciting. But it wasn't as much as I wanted, or it wasn't as much as you should have had. Why don't you encourage people? Especially you get around, young people. Brother Hiles used to go off the radio every day saying, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. I mean, everybody's got burdens and heartaches. And I mean, if you're 16, you got 16-year-old burdens and heartaches. You're 43, you got 43-year-old burdens and heartaches. You're 57, you got 57-year-old burdens and heartaches. But you got them. Everybody's got burdens. Why can't we encourage each other and be a blessing and a help? I want to be the kind of person, somebody says, I just like being around him. It's just encouraging. Be encouraging. You can give money to him. Help him financially. Certainly as you give the offering at church for God's ministry, that's a part of it. And part of what you give goes to reach others and help them in the bus ministry, the missions. And you ought to be giving. I can do things to please them. If I love my wife, which I mean I do, because I love my wife, I ought to try and please her. I'll try and make her happy. To me, that's the essence of love. I mean, the essence of love in some ways is I'd rather her have what she wants than me have what I want. I'd rather her get a new dress than me get a new suit. I'd rather have her have a new sofa than me get a new gun. I'd rather, because if I love her. I mean, isn't that what love's about? Well, yeah, I love her, but I want for me more now. Now, you say, well, boy, she sure is lucky. But you know what? She loves me. She'd rather me have the new suit than her have the new dress. She'd rather eat where I want to eat than where she wants to eat. She'd rather, it makes it pretty easy to get along. You're both preferring the other. Living in honor, preferring one another. I mean, that's what love is all about. Love is trying to please somebody else, trying to, do what you can. I mean, we ought to do what we can to help others and to live for others and to serve them. The widow's mite was the greatest gift, Jesus said. It isn't the amount. Somebody said it's not what you give, it's what you have left after you've given that makes the difference, that measures the size of the gift. Some people giving, the $2 I gave those 2 bus kids, still hold it in your hands. They think I'm going to take it back. It's yours. You can keep it. I mean, that was not a real sacrifice for me. I mean, it really wasn't. For somebody here, it probably would have been. And understand. The widow's mite was the greatest gift. If I'm going to give to others, I've got to, you know, somebody says, well, in my marriage or in the church or whatever, or this relationship, that, I'm going to give because if I give to them, then they'll give to me. And then, you know, I'm going to give to my wife and I'm going to be nice to her. So then she'll want to do for me. And I want this. I don't mind talking about guns. I really don't even hunt, but... you know, but you know, you get, guys, if I give to her and buy her a new dress, then she'll want me to get this new gun. That's not giving. That's trading. That's trying to trade. You know, if I say sweet things to her, then I can get this, and then I can do, and I can. And I'm trying to bargain and barter. That's not love. That's selfish. Okay, if I do for her, then she'll do for me. If I do for the preacher, then he'll do for me. If I do for this church member who's got money, then he'll do for me. If I do for, if I love people, I'll do for, you know, if you're giving in the hope of getting, you're not giving at all, you're trading. When you give, you have to give with no hope of getting. I just want to give. Again, the $2 I gave this morning wasn't much of a sacrifice to me. It was not a sacrifice. I don't think those boys are going to give me anything back. It was a gift. So, well, I like Psalm 41:1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. I like that verse. I like hanging around with poor people. I like giving and doing for poor people. That's one of the reasons I love the bus ministry. You get involved in a bus ministry, you get involved in that and going out and reaching people, you're reaching people that can't do a thing in the world for you. Amen. That's a little bit Christ-like, I think. If I can give to somebody that can't give to me, then I know I've given. And that's why I think God says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble, and God's delivered me again and again. I came up with a little thing. I don't know where I picked it up or where I started sometimes, but my wife and I have spent our 34 years together working, you know, trying to take care of our three children, our college kids, and our bus kids. We've tried to take care of them. We've let God take care of us. He's done a marvelous job. He really has. You give with no hope of getting, and you're really giving. People need you. Somebody has said people who need your love the most are the people that seem to be the least deserving of it. Or people need your love the most when they least deserve it. Well, I'd love him, but you know, he's nasty. You know, I mean, he's ugly. He smells. I mean, he may need your love more than somebody walks in to $500 soup. Our churches are full of people who say they love God, but they never sacrifice for somebody else. They never help somebody who can't help back. They never give to somebody by taking them the gospel. They never pick up a bus kid for church. I mean, and they talk about how much I love God. And all of us are guilty. I mean, I'm guilty of that kind of stuff sometimes. It's easy to talk about love without doing. As far as that goes, I'd be guilty of it some. I mean, you know, I'm not a perfect husband. I fall short of what I know I ought to do at times. I get selfish like you do and so on. I mean, we all battle the same stuff. And I get selfish in church work, and I get selfish with my money at times, but I'm trying. I mean, I'm working at it. I'm trying to set a goal. I know where I want to be at the end of the day and at the end of the week and at the end of my life. Amen. I know I want to have given my life to others. Question at the end of the day that you should ask yourself shouldn't be, boy, I'm thankful for this, or what am I thankful for? The question you ought to ask yourself at the end of the day is, who's thankful for me? Well, I'm thankful I got a raise. I'm thankful that pastor said nice things about me. I'm thankful that my wife did this for me. I'm thankful that... Well, your goal at the end of the day ought to be able to say, who's thankful for me? Whose life have I impacted? who's done something, whom have I helped today?
Right.
Whom have I given something to?
Right.
Love with God is an action verb. And if we're not doing something about the love that we say we have for God, I wonder how much we really love him anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's do something about our love for God. Let's do something about our love for others. Let's put it into action. Let's bow our heads for prayer.